You know, it's a time of the year that we celebrate Independence Day. Yeah. Well, last time I checked, let me know when he's done. As I was saying, last time I checked, the independence that we have in this country is fading. But the independence that God gave us will never fade. Whom the Son hath made free, he is free indeed. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith God hath made us free. So if you're free today, I'm talking about free from sin. I'm talking about free of the punishment of sin. I'm talking about free from the penalty of sin. I'm talking about free from the power of sin. Bless God, you're free. And one day you'll be free from the very presence of it. Hallelujah. Won't that be good? All right, as you know, we're in the book of Galatians. Glad some of you know. And we're keyed on, now this is, we have four guests with us this morning, so they're going to need some help. We're keying on, don't look at your Bibles, that's not help, anybody can read. We're keying on one verse in Galatians, chapter and verse. And it says, Paul says, I marvel, I'm amazed, I'm shocked. At what? That you are so quickly, so soon, removed from him who hath called you into the grace of Christ. He didn't say, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Judaism or from Christianity or from Buddhism or any other ism. That wouldn't be a bad thing because it wouldn't have been any good to start with. But when you remove yourself from him, you got trouble. Paul is not only shocked, he's afraid for them. He says it. I'm afraid for you. In another place, he says, boy, he says, I'm not sure about you guys. You better examine yourself that you be in the faith. Know ye not? Don't you know, he said, or do you know that Christ dwelleth in you? You see, that's the difference between a religion and salvation. Christ don't indwell religious people. Christ indwells his people, his children. And Paul is amazed that they have... Now, why had they removed themselves? Anybody remember? The Judaizers had come down from Jerusalem. And their gospel, their message, their good news was, Christ is good, but you got to be circumcised and keep the law. Let me just say this up front. Christ don't need your help. He don't need your abilities. He don't need your assistance. What he needs is you to believe him. Now, so we're in Galatians, so turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter 11. And we're going to stay in the third chapter. Now, remember the third chapter, how does it start off? Well, I tell you what, for my four guests, they're normally really quick, but, you know, it's a holiday, I guess, and they've got things on their mind. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's deceived you? That you should not obey." Remember, now I gave you four things, real quick. Four things that obey means, come on, give them to me quickly. One is rely. What? Have confidence in. Come on.
Believe.
Believe. And the last one?
Obey.
Well, that's the word, but it means to be persuaded of. He says, "Oh, who's deceived you that you should not obey or rely or believe or be confident in or be persuaded by the truth, the truth, before whose eyes Christ was evidently set forth." What he's saying was, I painted this big picture. The truth is, Christ was crucified for you. If you go away from that, you're foolish. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, here's what it says. Chapter 11 and verse 25. Now I'm going to read real quick because I've got to get going this morning. Verse 25 of chapter 11. "There shall no man be able to stand before you." Hallelujah. Now you say, but Tom, he's talking to the Israelites there. Well, okay, if you won't believe that, go ahead. I say the same thing applies to me if I'm his child. So he says, "There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, and he hath said unto you, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." A blessing. If you rely on, if you believe, if you're confident of, if you're persuaded by, what? The commandments of the Lord. What's the commandments of the Lord? Somebody hold it up. I know there's 10 of them, but this is a whole book of them. It just means what God says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Is that a commandment of God? Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting. See, we like all the good ones. You know, we like all the heaven verses. We don't like that in where it says hell hath enlarged its borders. See, that's, no, now Tom, that's negative. That won't get the crowd. Well, no, he didn't ask about a crowd. He just said you get a blessing if you obey my commandments. He says, "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other which ye have not known." Now, if you notice, if you read this later, you would see that in chapter after chapter, he talks about the blessing and the curse. If you go back and read, you'll see it in chapter after chapter. He talks about it. So he comes over to chapter 30. Look over there if you will. Chapter 30. And here's how it starts out. "And it shall come to pass, when all these things that are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse." In other words, one or the other is coming upon you. If you don't obey my commandments, the curse is coming upon you. And if you do, the blessing's coming upon you. Listen, don't just shuck it off. Don't just throw that by. That's God saying that. That's not Tom Foster saying that. So he says, "Which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul." Let me tell you something. If parents took that more serious, we wouldn't be in the pickle we're in. Our kids wouldn't be going to hell. I know that's not popular. Our kids wouldn't be on their way to hell if we would take more seriously the way God says, not Dr. Zeus or whatever his name is. Don't raise your children according to some Dr. Zeus. Is that his name? Zeus. Zeus is a god. Well, what's the difference? Zeus. He's still no good. If you teach your children, if you teach your grandchildren the Word of God, what do they get? They get blessing if they obey it. But what will they get if they don't? You see, you have to understand that. It's not adults only. God didn't say, well, now for you adults, we'll give you blessing if you do and we'll give you a curse if you don't. No, no. Everyone. That's why it says train up a child in the way it should go. Because if they go the wrong way, they're going to get the curse. God is no respecter of person. He don't care if you're male. And by the way, there is just two. That's God, they're going to find out there's just two. There's male and there's female. But God don't care what you are. God don't care if you're white or if you're black, if you're brown, if you're Asian, if you're Hispanic, if you're African, if you're Asian. It doesn't make any difference to God who you are, where you are, or what you are. He wants to know, do you believe me? Because in 1 John he says, he's not only the propitiation for my sins, he's the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And if we'd take that more seriously, we wouldn't be in this pickle we're in. It ain't got nothing to do with the Democrat president, folks. It ain't got nothing to do with the Democrat Congress either. Because that's about to go the other way, and I'll guarantee you, it ain't going to make one bit of difference. Unless they're, I tell you what, I don't know if you ever, maybe you do this, maybe you don't, I don't care. I'll just throw it out there if you want to do it, it's fine. Google. Y'all know how to Google. If you don't, just see me, I'll show you. Hey, I'm a genius on the phone, baby. I can go to that Google app and hit it, and it comes up right at the little bar. You can type anything you want to in it, and there it comes. Well, type in the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. I've thought about moving to North Carolina just so I could vote for him. Not if he's governor, it wouldn't. Google him. You'd vote for him too, I believe. Now, anyway, let's move on. So then he comes on down to verse 14. But the word is nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. So if you don't obey God's commandments, what are you? And what else are you? You know, we don't like that, Lynn. We don't like being called evil. We think evil is a child molester down here in Brushy Mountain Prison. We think evil is a murderer down here on death row. We think evil is someone that beats their wife or a wife that beats her husband. Did you ever think you'd come to a day when you'd hear that? My gosh, what have we come to? I mean... That's he, brother. No, he knows. But we have to understand this is still true. And he's still given the choice. You know, we're hearing a lot about choice now. A woman's right to... I'm for that. But choose it before. Make the right choice before. God says this. Marriage is honorable. And the bed is undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will. Let me tell you something. If you don't think you have to be married to have sex, just stand before God and tell him. And see how it works out for you. That's why we're in the pickle we're in, folks. We're not adhering to the word of God. Therefore, we're under a curse. This country, this world is under the curse of God because we won't believe God. You say, Tom, what's this got to do with Galatians? I don't know. No, I do too. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing you. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. Honey, I'm on 16 to 30. Well, I started out on 14. I'm reading down. And the Lord thy God shall. And the Lord thy God shall. Let me. You want to live a blessed life? According to this book. Not according to your own way. Not according to what you believe. Not according to what somebody tells you. You want to live a blessed life? It's right here. I mean, he hasn't changed that. My word is forever settled in heaven. So I believe it's still true. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now listen to it. Listen, here's what he says now. He finishes it by saying this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I'm shocked, Paul said, that you have so quickly, don't lose your place or I'm coming back to it, that you so quickly have removed yourself from him. I just read you about him. Who hath called you unto the grace of Christ. Well, let's hear the grace. Let's hear the grace. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I mean, come on, folks, get with me. That's God. God doesn't owe you nothing, Lynn. It's Joe, isn't it?
Yes.
God doesn't owe you anything, Joe. He doesn't owe you a thing.
He already did it.
Hey, he doesn't owe you anything. He's God. He's sovereign. Hey, he just said, let there be. Bless God, and there is. And if he said, let you not be, you won't be.
That's right.
That's who God is. He's so much bigger. But can't you hear him? Please choose life. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I've set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. Well, if you choose life, Stacy, what are you choosing? Who are you choosing? Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, bless God, what he's saying is, please don't go through this life without my son. Because you've got death on you. You've got a curse on you. And you'll stand before me and bless God, I'll have no other alternative but to condemn you. Do you not see that? Do you not see why Paul would be so shocked that someone would take the Christ the Son of the living God, whose cross, he suffered the crucifixion for them. They would try to add to that. Would you do that? Would you say, well, Christ is good, but boy, I got to live a good life. Well, no, you ain't got to do nothing. You're going to want to. Mm-hmm. See, this got to ain't going to get it. If you don't want to, you can got to all you want, but you ain't going to make it. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. You think I can't prove this to you? You know I can prove this to you. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I think that's where it's at. If it's not, it's left page, bottom page column. There it is. Are you there? Are you there? All right. 19, verse 1. Here we go. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus asked him that question, didn't he? Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, Lord, some say that thou art Elijah. Some say thou art Jeremiah. Some say you're another prophet. Well, I tell you, when you got two assistants, you don't need to teach. You just stand here and they'll do it for you. I love, there you are, my assistant. This is my lead assistant, Liam Joe. This is my lead assistant. This is the assistant to the assistant in training. You have to be in training for 5 years before I let you go. But he says, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Simon, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, son. You didn't get this from good teachers up in Jerusalem. My Father hath revealed this to you. And upon this rock, not Peter, by the way. They got that wrong. I'll just say that. They got that wrong. Peter's not the rock, folks. If Peter was the rock can crumble. All you got to do, I don't know him. Well, I never heard of him. Hell, I don't know him. That's what the Bible says. He cursed the third time, denying the Lord. Well, the rock don't do that.
Deny truth.
Because the rock says, if you deny me, I'll deny you before my Father. Now, that's not what he's talking about there. Because Peter wasn't denying him. Peter was just afraid. Look, I've done a lot of things when I'm afraid. A lot of things. Fear brings on a lot of things. But he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell. Now, you know, I differ with some people. They think that the gates are around hell. They think that the gates are coming out against Christ and it ain't. No. We're to go against that. And it says those gates ain't going to prevail. If you go out there and give out Christ, the gates of hell won't prevail. You'll prevail. So that's who Jesus is. So he's coming into Jericho now, and it says Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named. Now look, we've known that since we were little boys. I believe. First song my dad, and I believe we got a picture, if I'm not mistaken, Gene, I believe we got a picture of all the little children that grew up in Irwin, you included, like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. And we say, oh, how sweet. No, how true. It's a sweet little song, but it's true, Lynn. It says Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. I want you to notice the phrasing here. It's not just a little story we tell children, folks. And Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Now remember, I gave you the Greek word for that publican there. Anybody want to give it to me? Come on, impress my guests today. Oh, gosh. I even said, it's what you say at tax time. My goodness gracious. When you go to do your taxes, what do you say to your money?
Goodbye.
Goodbye. That's the word, goodbye. They were the worst. They were the worst. They could tax anything. They could tax three-legged donkeys. And you know what? They could tax them any amount they wanted to as long as Rome got what they said. They were hated. They were despised. They were despicable. If I could quote a famous politician, they were deplorable.
That's going on today.
He was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. I have set before thee this day blessing and cursing, life and death, good and evil. A lot of people would say this man was rich. He had the blessings. But his choice is coming. It's time for him to choose. You see, because he knows. He knows if he's blessed or cursed. He knows if all his wealth is helping him any. You know who else that occurs to? Anybody ready to take their last breath. I don't care how rich they are. It ain't going to help them. It won't buy you out. And he sought to see, not see Jesus. I mean, everyone saw Jesus, right? I mean, you know, the crowds, remember? You remember he fed them. You remember that, don't you? And they followed him everywhere. Why? Because they wanted another meal. That's what Jesus said. Hey, I didn't say that. Bless God, that's what he said. He said, well, because it says, and they followed him no more. And he says, well, you didn't follow me. You followed me just because I fed you. They wanted to see Jesus, but this man, he wanted to see who he was. Because this man was doing things that normal people can't do. And that was Jesus' saying all along. If you will not believe the words that I say, believe the works that I do. I mean, you know, who but God could do what Jesus did? Well, you would think they would flock to him and say, okay, we're going to listen to your words now because we know you're the Son of God. Oh, no, they sought to kill him. They wanted to stone him to death. So it doesn't make any... But this man was different. He said, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of... He couldn't stand on all his money. He could only stand on his own 2 feet. And it wasn't tall enough. Let me tell you something. You ain't never going to be tall enough. For all have sinned and come. We're all short, brother. When it comes to God, we're all short. You're never going to be tall enough. You're never going to be good enough. And so he says, I can't see him. But I ain't giving up. What does it Jeremiah say? You shall seek me and you shall find me when you have sought for me with all your heart. So he says, I got to see him. I got to see him. So he runs as fast as he can ahead, and he climbs up in a sycamore tree. And here comes Jesus. And Jesus is just going right on by. Oh, no, he's not. Let me tell you something. You know who else was running with him, bless God, to the tree? Glory, I hope you're going to pick this up here in just a second. I'll tell you who was running beside him. Jesus was running beside him and said, hurry, son, let's go. Let's get up in that tree. You know how I know that? Because, bless God, when Jesus got to the tree, he stopped. And he said, hey, Zacchaeus. Now, will you show me in there, bless God, where they introduced Zacchaeus to Jesus? Jesus had already seen this man. Because he says, when you seek for me with all your heart, then you're going to find me. But you got to seek for me. You got to want to know who I am. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior of the world. I'm the Redeemer of man. And if you don't see yourself needing redeemed and saved, you are not going to get me. You're not going to seek me. And you're not going to find me. And you're going to die cursed. That's the problem. So he says, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place. Now I want you to, look, you don't have to shout out loud or anything. I just want you in your own mind to remember the place. You should be able to remember the place where he said, Joe, come down. I remember it well. I remember it like it was yesterday. And it was February 1982. Not at a sycamore tree, but at a red light. And then when he came to the place, it says, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry, son. Hurry. Come down. For I must abide at thy house. Was he saying, I've got to go home with you? No. No, Joe, he wasn't. Here's what he was saying. I must be present. I must dwell. I must continue. I must remain. Well, the last time I checked, Joe, he's not still at Zacchaeus' house physically. So I know he wasn't talking about that. What he was saying was the same thing he said to me at that red light. You see, I remember it well. I was there. You'd had to know me. And he said, if you go through the red light, that's it. You say, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. See, it doesn't make any difference to me what you believe. He said, it's as plain as day. If you go through the red light, that's it. I went through the red light. Bless God, it's green. Hallelujah. Don't you like it? Huh? He said, if you go through the red light, that's it. I said, Lord, if you keep that red light red, let me get right. He did, and I did, and went through. And I regretted a day. It's like that song. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, purer. It gets sweeter as the days go by. I hear the mother's voice. I got the video. The little baby's just a scream. 2 minutes old. And it's just screaming and crying. And it's daddy, it's father, reached down and said, it's okay, honey. Your daddy's here. I mean, instantly, that little baby stopped crying and stopped kicking and stopped squirming, and it looked like it had a little smile on its face. And the man said, that's what happens when you hear the Father's voice. You say, Tom, what's that got to do with Galatians? Oh, it's got everything to do with it. Remember, I started all this out with John, where he says, my sheep hear my voice, and a hireling they will not follow. Oh, these Judaizers, they'd come down there and they'd trick these people. They'd deceived them. But if they were God's sheep, when God sent Paul down there to tell them, no, I'm not worried about them believing. They're going to hear the Father's voice. And Zacchaeus heard the voice. And you know what he did? Bless God, he come down. And you know what Jesus did? Well, he went to his house. And here's what he said. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, thy half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I shall restore fourfold. What does that prove to you? By Scripture, what does that prove to you? Huh? Well, it also, it not only admitted his loss, it admitted he got saved. Because James says faith without works is dead being alone. Bless God. Hey, when he got right, all of a sudden all his wealth didn't mean nothing to him. He's like the parable of the treasure. When he found it, he's willing to give up everything he had to get it. If you're not willing to do that, you're not willing to Christ to save you, folks. You're still under the curse. You're not under blessing. If you know, Christ doesn't take part of you. You know, I realize there's a teaching that goes around, well, you get saved today, but later on you make him Lord of your life. Well, that's not what Peter said. Look, I just go by what people say in the Bible because that's the only thing I'm going to believe. Peter said, my Lord and my God. He doesn't become your Lord later after he becomes your Savior. No, when he becomes your Savior, bless God, he's your Lord and he's your master, or he ain't nothing. I know that's bad English. Got no kids in here today. Don't that way. I got a teacher. Oh, gosh, I got a school teacher. I do apologize. You keep teaching them right. But I came up in there when we had good English over there. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything by false accusation, I restore them fourfold. And Jesus said unto him. Now, Jesus says this. You know, he didn't run around saying, I'm saved. No, he got the best testimony he could ever get of somebody. This day is salvation come to this. Well, he ain't talking about his physical house, folks. If you think that, you're wrong. He's talking about this house. And if he ain't in your house, you better go hunting. You better go seeking. You better go finding. Because you know, if he's in, come on in. You can come on in. Come on in. It's okay. Come on in. Because if you don't, I'm going to come on in. It's all right. That's all right. If you don't know that he's in your house, he ain't in there. I mean, you can't tell me that God's on the inside and you don't know it. I ain't buying that. So he says, for as much as he also is a son of, for he also is a son of, well, why would you read that, Tom? Well, because Galatians talks about it. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The Jews had the misconception and the bad conception that because they were of Abraham's physical seed, they were in. But Jesus is saying this, no. Now, because you believed me, Zacchaeus, because I have saved you. Now, you know it says that because if you look at the last verse of that story, what does it say? Huh? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, that tells me the story. Zacchaeus lost. Jesus saves. Zacchaeus goes to find Jesus. Jesus finds Zacchaeus. Says, well, I'm going to dwell in you now, so I guess you're... No, he didn't say, I guess. He says, I know you are. Let me tell you something. If you don't know that Christ dwells in you, you better get right, because you're not. You have come to that choice and said, no, I'm not choosing life. No, I'm not choosing blessing. I'm choosing the opposite, curse and death. You can't choose religion. Now, the reason I say that is this. Here's what he says. I got a few more minutes now. Don't get down on me. In Galatians, you can go there now. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to tell you what it's saying. Remember, I gave you the first verse, right? You know, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth whose eyes set before you, evidently set for you, Christ crucified. You remember that? Okay. And then he says this. I would ask you one question, he said. Received ye the Spirit, capital S, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, if you notice, he didn't give anyone time to answer, because that's a rhetorical question. And a rhetorical question means it's obvious. You don't get the Holy Spirit by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Did you notice? It didn't say by having faith. You know, we've got this wrong idea about faith, folks. You don't come into this world with faith. You don't get faith till you're saved. All you can do before you're saved is believe. That's all. And once you believe, guess what you get? You get the ability. The ability to trust God. That's what it is. For by grace, through faith, are you saved? And that not of yourselves. It is a gift to God. Well, that tells me that not just grace is a gift, faith is a gift, folks. So when these people say, I'm a person of faith, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. So, let me finish. He says, well, I'll pick it up next week.